Just a couple of moments of the lead start. Mir Hashem, begin by thanking our sponsors. Thank all of our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei. Jerry and Sarah Wolaski for dedicating all the shiurim in the Schuss for a Fushlima for Zacharia Dov and Peril Shira, Shane Dean Avram Kelman in memory of their beloved parents, and in the schuss of all those who need a refuah shalima, Dr. Linda Weinberg, in loving memory of her husband, Dr. Paul Weinberg, Peretz Moshe Ben Avram David, Selma Wolf, with immense gratitude to Hashem, and with tfilos for health for all in the new year, and Leah Soul as a schuss for refuah shalima for her daughter Ilana Bas Esther, and for all those in need of Yeshuas. Our week of learning sponsors, Jeff Schwartz, and appreciation for the Daf Yomi program, and a day of learning sponsor, an anonymous sponsor in honor of Avron Elbaum for his commitment to running the Yom Noraim davening at the expense of his own davening. Wow, what a beautiful recognition of the Mesiras Nefesh of our God. I'm absolutely beautiful. All right, so with that, let us begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Mem Hei 45, and we are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Mem Dalet Amud Beis 44b. Let's just pick up again at the two dots. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Titanus Shnez Kachel Das Avia. What happens if a ketana, if a girl, accepts kiddushin without the knowledge of her father? So remember again, we were talking about yesterday's daf was pretty much all about the machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, regarding what happens or who has the ability for an ara murasa to be makabel her get, to be makabel her kiddushin. So now we're moving on a little bit into another interesting sugya regarding what happens if a ketana goes ahead and accepts kiddushin without the knowledge of her father, a precocious young lady. So what happens? So what's the halacha? Amr Shmuel tzricha get or tzricha miyun. Shmuel says she requires a get, and she also requires miyun. Now, both say, remember, so get is a get. Miyun is the process. What does miyun literally mean? Refusal, right? Miyun is the process by which rabbinic marriage is dissolved, specifically the type of rabbinic marriage that a ketana is entered into by either her mother, her brother, in the absence of her father. So she requires get and requires miyun. Amar Karno, so Karno said that doesn't make any sense. Dvarim, so we'll say that's Shmuel, right? Shmuel says she requires a get and miyun in order to get out of this. Karno says that doesn't make sense. Im get lama miyun, im miyun lama get. In other words, there's no reason you should require both of those processes. Remember again, get is used to dissolve an actual marriage. Miyun is used to dissolve a rabbinic marriage. So where there's get, there's no miyun. Where there's miyun, there's no get. Why should you require both? So we'll say, so what do we do? Amrulay. So they said, Amrulay, Hamar Ukva Beidina Bekafri. You know, Mar Ukva and his Beisdin, they're in the city of Kafri. So let's go ahead, and Rav is also there as well. Rav's on that Beisdin. Let's go ahead and send this Shaila there. But they did something interesting. Afchuha, so they changed the Shitas. So in other words, you'll see why in just a moment. So they attributed Karna's Shita to Shmuel, Shmuel's Shita to Karna. So when they went ahead and they posed the question to Rav, as we're going to see, the question went like this. If a ketana received kiddushin without the knowledge and consent of her father, what's the halacha? Shmuel says she doesn't need anything, right? Or I should say, she either needs a get or miyun, but not both. And Karno says she needs a get and miyun. That's how they sent the shayla. And they said, who's correct? So shazur kam lekamei derav, amr lo elokim. Tzricha get, tzricha miyun. So Rav said, of course, she requires a get and she requires miyun. V'chas le'lazari da'aba bar abba, d'nei mahachi. And woe to the offspring of Abba bar Abba. We'll say Abba bar Abba ultimately again is Shmuel. Woe to the offspring of Abba bar Abba who says that she doesn't. Now we'll say Rashi points out over here, the reason why they went ahead and they switched the Shitas was Shmuel and Rav were very close. So they wanted to see how Rav would paskin. Would he just automatically side with Shmuel? Or perhaps, again, if they mixed up the Shitas a little bit, they wanted his true psak, and they didn't want him to feel that he had to side with Shmuel. So it turns out that it worked, and he said Shmuel's, of course, 100% wrong, which in actuality meant Shmuel was 100% right. And therefore, in this kind of situation, she requires both a get and miyun. The time am I. Why do you need a get and miyun? So Amar Rav Acha, Breid Rav Ika, Tzvicha get, Shem and Esrat Sa'a B'Kiddushin. So number one, you need a get. Very interesting. What are we concerned, Rabbi Osei? You need a get because maybe after the fact, the father was happy with the daughter's actions. In other words, maybe even though again a ketana isn't empowered to accept kiddushin on her own, but maybe in this case, after she did it, the father would say, "Great," and therefore again, it's a valid marriage, or at least the Gemara is suggesting that it should be a valid marriage. Tzricha miyon, and then she requires miyon. Why? Shema lo nisratza b'kiddushin. We'll say, watch, let's play this out. Because maybe the father doesn't want the kiddushin, right? V'yomru ein kiddushin tov simachos. And I will say, what's the problem? Once you require a get, so this girl is going to look like a grusha. Now, if she's a grusha, who else? So let's play this out. Let's say Rachel is the ketana, right? So Rachel went ahead and accepted kiddushin from Reuven without her father's knowledge. So now we're saying the halacha is like Shmuel. She requires a get. She requires a miyun. She requires a get. Why? Why get? The concern ex post facto, the father really wanted the kiddushin, and therefore he needed a get to actually unravel the kiddushin. Why do you need a miyun? See, miyun is the response to the get. Because once Reuven gives Rachel a get, then I will say, interestingly enough, as a divorcee, who else can't Reuven marry? Rachel's sister. Now, but that's not really true because there wasn't a marriage here, right? So we do Mion to show that there wasn't really a marriage. In other words, the Mion becomes necessary after the get was given in order to remove any vestiges of marriage or repercussions of Rachel being a divorcee upon Reuven. Interesting. I'm Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, "V'husha shitchu." So Rav Nachman says, by the way, all of this only assumes that there were previous discussions about marriage. Now, as Rabbi said, let me clarify this. When Rav Nachman says like this, when do we have to be concerned that maybe the father ex post facto wants this? When there was some previous discussion of a marriage between Reuven and Rachel. So then again, and now what happens? Now the story makes a little bit more sense. So now Rachel went ahead and was Makabel Kiddushin on her own without her father's knowledge. Then maybe there's a concern that ex post facto, the father maybe wanted this relationship as well. Ula Amar, so we'll say fine. Ula, first wide line. Ula Amar afilu miyun ein hazrichu. Ula says, Nana, she doesn't even need miyun. So in the case like this, why? Afagav, Sigmar says, Afagav the shitchu. Now is that true even if there were previous discussions of marriage? To which the Gemara says, no, man, the masniha, lo masniha. The truth is, there's two separate conversations going on over here. And there is Rav Nachman's statement about shidchu and Ula's statement about afilu, right, that even miyun she doesn't need, are unrelated conversations. However, Igadami, an alternate version of this, Amr Ula, ketanash neskach lo dasaviyah, an alternate version of it has that Ula says that even if halacha lamaisa, I'm sorry, a ketana who accepted kiddushin without the knowledge of her father, afilu miyun eino tzricha, ultimately, again, doesn't even need miyun. Fine. So therefore, Rabbi say we have an interesting machlokis going on over here. Ketana accepts kiddushin without the knowledge of her father. What are the ramifications of that? So on one hand, you have Shmuel saying she needs a get and she needs miyun. And then on the other side of that, you have Rav Nachman qualifying that, saying that's only if there were some previous discussions regarding a shidduch. And then all the way on the other side of that, you have Ula, who says that she doesn't need anything. That's our machlokas. Master Rav Kan Rav Kar is a kasha of a kulon imesu omiyanu onis garshu oshinim tzu islandis sarosen mutaros. Now, we'll say back to all the way to the beginning of Yevamos. The boss, remember again, Yevamos 101, right? Reuven's married to two wives, Rachel and Leah. Unrelated to each other, right? Or they could be related to each other, right? Oh, actually, unrelated to each other. So we'll say, so what happens if halacha lamaisa, one of those women is an erva to the yavam, right? For example, simple case, right? Reuven's married to Rachel and Leah, and Rachel happens to be Reuven's niece, Shimon, his brother's daughter. Now Reuven dies, both of them fall to Yibum before Shimon. What's that halacha? No Yibum. Why not? Because remember again, Yevamos 101, if one of the wives can't do Yibum, is an erva to the Yavam, she exempts the co-wives as well, the Tzara. Now watch this case. Now we'll say, now what happens if, let's say, the erva wife, right, the erva wife, Mesu, Omianu, Onis Garshu, Oshinim Sa'ilinis. Now we'll say, in a case where the erva wife either again died, did Mion, was previously divorced before the husband died, or was found out to be an islandess, totally incapable of having children. So the Rabbi said, then she effectively becomes ineligible for Yibum. Once she becomes ineligible for Yibum, then what? Then the co-wife is back in. He's back in. The Gemara says, interesting, let me ask you this. So the Gemara says, the kid shaman. So I'll say, so in these cases over here, in this case here specifically again, of Mir no onus gershu. So what's the case? Who is Mekadisher? Ilema, so Neon we're talking about. So the kid shaman. Ilema the kid sha'avia. If ultimately again we're talking about a case where her father is Mekadisher, then Bamion Sagida. And I was about to say, one of the ways that the Mishnah brings up, one of the ways over here the Bryce brings up, that one of the ways that the erva wife can be removed from the yavam. Sorry, one of the ways in which the erva wife can be removed from the yibam equation, the Raisa said, is how miyun. What's the case of miyun, right? What's the case of where the erva wife is doing miyun? If her father was mekadesher, then ultimately again miyun's not enough, right? Get so the Gemara says get ma'al yabai. She would require a get. Elalav the kidsha ihi nafsha. Rather, it must be a case of where she was mekadesh herself. Right? And that would be a case in which Mion would be able to remove her from the Yibam equation. So you see from here what they're all saying, Vikatani debaya Mion. And yet she requires Mion. What do you see from here? It's an interesting, it's not like the strongest of proofs, but it's interesting nevertheless. But what you do see from here is that Aloha Lamaisa, if the Kitana apparently accepts Kiddushin on her own, that relationship still requires Mion. Which would seem to be a support, to Shmuel and Akasha and Ula. So the Gemara says, Humosivla Vumafarikla, Kigon Shinasa La Maisi Son Bachayav. Now what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a girl, literally again, who was treated like an orphan during the lifetime of her father. Now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi's about four lines up from the bottom. Maisi Son Bachayav, Kigon Shesia Vila Acher. The case would be her father married her off, and then what happened? Venis Armala Onis Gersha. She was widowed or she was divorced as a katana. Sharihi bechaye ki yisoma, kevin she esia ein la via rushusba. Beacharin ken kitchi es asma la achiavia, tahani kidushin baimion, shla hayava lahamtin as das aviha bemion sag. So we'll listen to this. The case would be, it's actually an interesting case, father marries off a katana daughter, right, and then goes ahead, and now that katana daughter is, let's say, widowed. So now I'll say, even though she's still a kitana, technically speaking, she is what we call a kitana. She is like a son b'chayav. Your father no longer has really any rights over her since she was already once married. Technically speaking, a girl like that, if she enters herself into marriage, she's still a kitana, which means that that marriage could still be dissolved through miyun. That would be the case. Okay. To which the Gemara says, Master Rav Hamluna. Rav Hamluna says, one second. In Mokhul Krob, so we're also going in a different direction over here. Now, I will say this is an interesting case. Now, we know that a father has the ability to sell his daughter as an amo, as a Jewish maidservant. Now, I will say the halacha by amo is the ideal by amo is if a Jewish man purchases an amo, what's the ideal process? The ideal process is that he marries her, right? That's the goal over here, right? And if he's not going to marry her, then what? Then his son will marry her. That's the ultimate goal of purchasing an Amma Ivriya. So based on that, the halacha is, Emochro the Krovim. You're not allowed to sell your daughter to relatives. Why? Because marriage is impossible. So you can only, you really should only sell your daughter as an Amma Ivriya to someone who technically is able to marry her. Rashi says over here, Emochro, Lebito the Krovim, Shin, Einlan Kiddushin Bahen, I'm sorry, Shein Elohim Kiddushin Ba. But say the process of marrying the Amma Ivriya is called Yiyud. Yiyud literally means like designation. That ultimately, again, when you purchase an Amma Ivriya, the ideal is she's designated for marriage. So the Gemara says, Mishum Rabbi Lozer Amru, Mochro the Krovim. Rabbi Lozer says, no, you're allowed to go ahead and even sell her to Krovim. So we'll say, Machlok, Kisim Rav Hamnuna, and Rabbi Lozer, can you sell your daughter as an Amma Ivriya to someone who she cannot marry? Rav Hamnuna, no. Rav Elazar, yes. We'll say top of Memhei. The Shavin Shemochra Amana LaKohen Gadol Grusha VeChalutz LaKohen Hayah. It's very interesting, but everyone agrees. Well, listen to this. Everyone agrees that a father could sell his daughter, who is an Amana, right, to a Kohen Gadol, or if the daughter is a Grusha, to a Kohen Hedyot. Now, those are illegal marriages. I will say, but what's the halacha? Even though they're not legal, technically speaking, what? They work, right? In other words, we paskin not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the only opinion who holds that Ein Kiddushin Tovsin B'Chai Be'Lavin. that marriage does not take effect in a relationship that is punishable by a lav, we do not paskin that way. And therefore, technically speaking, even though a Kohen Gadol can't marry an Amana, if he did, the marriage works. Kohen Hedyot can't marry a Grusha, a divorcee, but if he did, it works. So interestingly enough, as much as there's a machlokes, Rav Hamnuna, Rav Elazar, can you sell your daughter to relatives? Everyone agrees that if she's a divorcee, you could sell her to a Kohen, and if she is a widow, you could sell her to a Kohen Gadol. Gemara says, whoa, hi Amona Hechidami. Rabbi say, what is the case? Now remember, Rabbi say, when could a father sell his daughter as an Ama Ivriya? Only when? What? When she's a Ketana. When she's a Ketana. So what exactly is the case, ultimately, again, of a father selling his Ketana daughter and she's an Almana? What's that case? Ha Amona Hechidami. Elim of the Kitshavia. So if we're talking about a typical case where, let's say, again, he was Makadish as a Ketana and her husband died, that can't be the case. Why? The halacha is that a father can't sell his daughter as a shivcha after having given her in marriage. In other words, once a father gives his daughter in marriage, he essentially relinquishes any further rights that he has in her. So he can't be talking about a case where he married her off, she was widowed as a ketana, and now he's selling her as a shivcha. That would not work. Rather, it must be alalav the kidesh ihi nafsha. It must be talking about a case where what? The ketana accepted kiddushin on her own. She accepted kiddushin, and now she's widowed, to which the father still has the right to go ahead and sell her as a shivcha. V'kakari le'amana. And it's calling her an amana. What do you see from here? You see from here that halach lamaisa, that if the ketana accepts kiddushin on her own, that halach lamaisa, it works. Rav Amram Yitzchak, hacha b'kiddushe yiyud. No. What are we talking about over here? I'll say, actually, I'm totally switching gears over here. Kiddushe yiyud. What was the case? The case is where I will say that halacha lemaisa, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is three lines down from the top. Shenis amla mekidushi yod. I will say, watch this. What was she widowed from? She was sold as a shivcha. The master did yiyud. Right? Now, I will say, we're going to see an interesting machlokis in the mechanics of how you marry your shivcha. So kiddushi yiyud means essentially master went ahead and stated his intent to marry her. And is so like Rashi, v'kiddushi yud, shenis amana mekiddushi yud. Vim tomar, halo ayyede avia ba'ola. Now, Bosa, and here's what's interesting. In general, we assume that how does kiddushi yud work? How does kiddushi yud work? You don't have to give additional kesef kiddushin. Why not? What is the kesef kiddushin? Kesef kiddushin is the purchase price. So, for example, if you have master purchases Ama Ivriya from Reuven, right? So Reuven sells his daughter Rachel as an Ama Ivriya. So now both say the money that Reuven receives for the sale of his daughter becomes the Kesef Kiddushin. So when we speak about that she's an Almana, we're talking about a case over here where she was widowed from Kiddushe Yiyud. Now Rashi points out over here, if that's the case, then essentially isn't that a situation where her father married her off, right? Because her father sold her. The kesef kiddushin is the purchase price, and therefore is the money given, and therefore again this is a marriage that she's entered into by her father. To which the Gemara says, no. Valibud Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and I will say it's in accordance with the position of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Watch this. Da'amar maos harishonos lav likiddushin nitnu. Fascinating, Rabbi Yosi. We're going to see this. But there is a fascinating machlokes, Rabbi Yosi, about whether, and I actually saw it referenced, but we'll see it again as well. We'll say, is kiddushe yiyud, or I should say, when a man is mekadesh his ama ivriya, ultimately again, do we say that the purchase price is the kesef kiddushin, or does the master have to go ahead and give her additional monies? So if you hold that Allah says it's the purchase price that is the kesef kiddushin, then enachinami, that is a marriage that she is entered into by her father. However, according to Rabbi Yossi, the master has to give additional funds. If he has to give additional funds, then technically speaking, this could be a marriage, ultimately, this could be considered a marriage that she enters into of her own volition. And if she is widowed, right, in Kiddushin in that state, then Einach Inami, that could be a situation of Halacha L'maisa, where she is widowed from a marriage undertaken of her own volition, in which case, technically speaking, the father might still have the right to go ahead and sell her to someone else. And that's when the Gemara says, if he sold her to a Kohen Gadol, even though, again, she's quote-unquote a widow, technically speaking, it could work. Okay, interesting. We'll say, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, how do we go ahead and pasuk? In other words, what is the status, ultimately, again, of Kiddushei Ketana? What is the status? So we'll say, so the halacha, in other words, if a Ketana goes ahead and accepts Kiddushin on her own, what's the status of that Kiddushin? So the Rambam pasuks in Hilchos Ishus, Paragimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam writes, Niskacha kodim shetivgo sholo das aviyah, eina mekudeshas. The Rambam says, inconsequential. It's like any other actions of a katan or a kitana, totally inconsequential. Not only that, the Rambam, so therefore, again, if a kitana accepts kiddushin on her own, it's meaningless. It doesn't require a get, and it doesn't even require miyun. Not only that, the Rambam said, listen to this, the Rambam writes, v'afilu im nisratza ha'av achar sheniskatsha. Even if the father consents to her actions ex post facto, still doesn't matter. Still doesn't matter. The actions of a ketana are halachically meaningless, and therefore, again, if she decides to accept kiddushin from a man, she doesn't need miyun, she doesn't need a get, even if the father says, great job afterwards, still halachically meaningless. That's why he passed in essentially like ula. Like ula. Not essentially, like ula. Because it says, Gemara Ithmar, meis v'nafla v'lefnei achiv li'ibum. So it's an interesting case. Now, I gave you the conclusion, but the Gemara didn't conclude yet. I just wanted to close that out. So we'll say, now watch this. It's a continuation of the previous case. A girl, right, a ketana, accepted kiddushin without the knowledge of her father. Then what happens? Her husband dies. Her husband dies. So she just had kiddushin, right? Her husband dies. So what's the halacha? Now she falls for yibum. So let's say again, Rachel, a ketana, accepted kiddushin of her own without her father's consent from Reuven. Okay, now Reuven dies. And now Reuven has a surviving brother. So Rachel falls to Shimon for Yibum. What's Talach? Amravuna Amrav. Mima enes l'ma amaro, ve'ina mima enes l'ze kaso. Shabbos said this is an interesting statement. So ultimately, again, she needs me. Look at Rashi. Mima enes l'ma amaro, tzricha miyon im get hamutal aleha, im asa ba ma'amar, osa get matzricha lios imo miyon. Shabbos says, so We'll define it in just a moment, but Rav essentially says she's going to require ultimately again miyun with a get if there was maimar ve'ina mima enes lizei kaso. But ultimately again, she doesn't require if there was no maimar. Then ultimately again, she's not going to require a get, but rather she's only going to require chalitza. Now the Gemara says ketzad. We're going to define this right now. Ketzad. Asaba mamar. So we'll say, so here's the case. So just to put the whole chagadya over here, right? So Rachel is a ketana. Rachel accepted kiddushin from Reuven without her father's consent. Fine kiddushin. Now, Reuven dies. Reuven has a surviving brother, Shimon. So now, watch this. So the Gemara says a couple of different scenarios over here. Asaba mamar. So let's say Shimon, the Yavam, did mamar. We'll say, what's mamar? Kishmo Kenu, it's a statement that says, I'm going to marry you, or money given that I'm going to marry you. What does Mimer do? Not really anything. If there are other brothers, it maybe, you know, prevents the other brothers from doing Yibum technically, right? But essentially, it's Kiddushin. It's Kiddushin, even though you don't really need Kiddushin by Yibum, you just need Bia. All right, in any event, if the surviving brother, Shimon, did Mimer, Tzricha Get or Tzricha Chalitza. Wow. So Rachel is going to require a Get and going to require Chalitza. Utzricha Miyun. And she's going to require miyun. So I'll say, this is a lot of stuff going on. So a get, chalitza, miyun. Why? The Gemara goes through each of these. Tzricha get. She needs a get. Why? Shem nisrat sa'ab b'kiddush sheni. That is interesting. She requires a get, and we'll say why. Because maybe, since Shimon, the Yavam, did mama, which means he gave her money, maybe the father wants the marriage with Shimon. Father never consented to the marriage about Reuven, but now Shimon gave her money. Granted, he gave her money as Maimar, but Maimar is still Kiddushin also. So maybe the father wants the marriage with Shimon, and therefore ultimately again she needs to get to dissolve that marriage, right? Tzricha chalitza, she requires chalitza, shemen etzratza b'kiddush rishon, because maybe the father wanted the first marriage, in which case again she was really married to Reuven and now subject to Yibam with Shimon, and therefore she needs chalitza. Tzricha mion, and she requires mion, why? Shemel hon etzratza av lo b'kiddush rishon v'lo b'kiddush sheni. That was that she requires mion because maybe the father didn't want either of the two marriages. Now, again, if he didn't want either two marriages, then nothing's going on over here. Why does she need miyun? She needs miyun, I will say, because remember, she is receiving a get, she is receiving chalitza, so miyun is what essentially undoes everything and then allows Shimon, the Yavam, to marry Rachel's sister. Without miyun, we would say, this is a mess. The yomru, aim kiddushin tovsin ba'achosa. So therefore, I will say, this is incredible. So you hear this case? So one more time. So Rachel, here, it's a pretty straightforward case. Rachel, kitana, accepted kiddushin from Reuven without her father's knowledge. Fine. Step one. Reuven dies. Rachel falls to Shimon, Reuven's brother, for Yibol. So now, I will say, what happens? So the Gemara says, it depends. If Shimon did Maimer, then what? Then we need a get, chalitza, miyun. Right? I need a get, because maybe the father wanted ultimately, maybe the father ex post facto was happy with the kiddushin from Shimon, second surviving brother. I need chalitza, because maybe father wanted the first marriage to Reuven. Right? And I need miyun, because maybe the father didn't want either marriage. But now that we required both a get and chalitza, people are going to think that Rachel is a divorcee, and therefore are going to say that Shimon, the surviving brother, can't marry Rachel's sister because it's the wife of his divorcee, the wife of his chalitza, and therefore in order to go ahead and get around that, we do miyun, which upends the entire thing. Good. That's it. So Gemara says as follows, Lo'as about Maimer. Now that's only if he did Maimer. That's only if Shimon did Maimer. What if Shimon didn't do Maimer? Ein tzricha ela chalitza bilvad. Ultimately, again, in that case, we'll say if there was no Maimer, then halach l'maisa, all Rachel is going to require is chalitza. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. My amrit tibay nami miyun shami yomru in kiddushin tovsin b'achosa. But I don't understand. We should require miyun because we'll say, remember again, once you require chalitza, so what does chalitza do? Chalitza essentially broadcasts that this was a marriage. Right, that this was a marriage. In which case, if she's a chalitza, then that means Shimon can't marry her sister. So the Gemara says, no. Here's the difference. Hakol yodim achos chalitza derabanan. They will say, here's the difference. The achos, the sister of your chalitza, is a derabanan. That is not a daraisa. Damrei shlakish kan shana rabbi achos grusha midaraisa achos chalitza midivrei sofrim. Everyone knows the sister of the woman you divorced is an Isser Daraisa. The sister of the woman that ultimately you did chalitza with is quote-unquote only Dirabanan. I will say, therefore, again, since we're only dealing with the Dirabanan, and again, there's so much other stuff going on over here, therefore, Allah said people are not going to assume that Shimon can't marry the sister of Rachel. Okay, now I will say, now I just want to point out, it's a fascinating case, and like a riveting Gemara, I gave you the conclusion already, so you already know that these cases really never get off the ground, right? They never get off the ground because we pass in like Ula, that if a Kitana accepts Kiddushin without the consent of her father, her actions are inconsequential. So remember again, these cases never go anywhere, right? These cases would never come up, halach lamaisa, because to begin with, her actions are deemed halachically inconsequential. Good. Some interesting cases here, I will say, Hano Beitre, Dalakasha Sichamra, Tusi Sifi Bebava. She sounds like a nice case. Two guys are drinking wine underneath the myrtle tree. Right? Underneath the myrtle tree in Bava. And I will say, by the way, I'll point out to you something very interesting. Saf Tzifa, Rashi points out there, Tachas Ilani Saf Tzifa Shehu Min Arava. I will say, how beautiful. We're in the intermediate days right before Sukkis. There's a machlokis in the Mishnah on Sukkah if Saf Tzifa is a usable Arava or not. How incredible is that? It's machlokas, is saf safa good arava or not? It's a different type. So we'll say, here the Gemara tells us, so beautiful. So here, again, the days leading up to the beautiful Yom Tov, Zman Simcha Sin leading up to Sukkis, what does the Gemara give us? A little bit of extra Simcha. Two guys sitting underneath the saf safa tree, going ahead and drinking wine in Babel. Beautiful. Incredible, I'll say. So what happens? So Shakal Chaminah Kasa Dechamra. So one guy took his glass of wine. Yarev Le Mechavre gave it to his friend. Amar, Mikachli Bartech Libre. He said, with this cup of wine, your daughter should become mikudeshes to my son. All right. The dangers of drinking too much with friends, right? So I'll say. So listen to this. So this is a fascinating case. So just look what's happening. So Reuven and Shimon sitting together, right, drinking wine under the tzavtzav in Bavel. Reuven takes a glass of wine, hands it to Shimon, and he says, Shimon, with this glass of wine, ultimately, again, your daughter should become mikudeshes to my son, right? So essentially, the father of the son is giving the wine, kesef, right, shavik kesef, to the father of the girl as kiddushin. Okay, so the Gemara says, "I'm Ravina. I feel the man that Chayshina Shem Nitzratza Av." They both say, "Now let's take a step back over here." Right now, remember. So the daughter, look at Rashi. I feel the man that the Bashan is Katsha Shlo Das Avia Shem Nitzratza Av. They both say, "Now we saw before that there was an opinion that said that ex post facto. So if the father agrees to the Kiddushe Kitana, it works fine. Even according to the opinion that says that a father of a girl could agree to a marriage after the fact, right? Amud Beis, Rabbi Osai, so the Gemara says, the Chashim Shem Nisratza Av, Amud Beis, Shem Nisratza HaBen Lo Amrinon. Rabbi Osai, the one thing that we do not do in Halacha is that the father of a boy cannot commit his son to marriage without his son's knowledge. There's no such concept like that in Halacha. There's a concept of a father marrying off a daughter without her knowledge, right? A father has that right in his daughter who's a kitano, but no such parallel right applies to a son. Look at Rashi. Shem Nisratza Ben, Tap Rashi Mem Chesel Abeis. So, the Kiddushin Shekidi Shloa Av Shalom Yidai. The Lord Minon, the Abbe Kiddushin Bita Bechol Du Nechalei, the Tav De Lameis of Tan Dumi Lameis of Armla, Aval Gavra, So it's interesting. So Rashi gives two interpretations. Rashi says, first of all, again, obviously, just looking societally, that marriage meant something so different for men than it did for women, right? For women, it was a sense of security, financial security, physical security, and therefore there was a concept of marrying off even a young girl without her knowledge or consent. For men, it wasn't like that. And therefore, Allah Almighty, there's no... And you don't even have to get into that. There's just biblical concepts, right? There's a biblical concept. Whatever the hashkafa of it is, or the tamei mitzvah of it is, there's a concept, ultimately, again, of a father marrying off his minor daughter. There is no such concept of a father marrying off his son without his consent or knowledge. Again, there's a concept of shlichus, but even shlichus requires what? Shlichus requires das of the mishaleach. So the Gemara says, Shem Nisratza Ben Lo Amrinon. So therefore, this whole case doesn't work. This whole case doesn't work because the father of the son has no right to enter his son into a relationship without the knowledge of the son. Maybe in this case, the son appointed his father as a shaliach. So which the Gemara says, this is incredible. A son would never appoint his father as a shaliach. That would be a chutzpah. To ask your father to do something for you, right? To ask your father to be a shliach for you, that would be a tremendous chutzpah. A son would never do that. It doesn't mean that a child doesn't ask his father for things, right? Of course, that's my simba chol yom. But what it means is asking your father to be your shaliach, right? Ask your father to execute something on your behalf. That's not something that a son would. That's not something that a son would do. But Dilma, Artsui Artse Kame. Well, maybe the case over here is, in this case, the son happened to have been talking to his father, you know, just about this particular young lady. Right? So maybe, again, the father knows that the son is interested in this shidduch. Look at Rashi, actually, for just a moment. Dilma Artsui Artse, Rashi says, Ben Kame Aviv, V'gila Lo Daito Shu Chafetz Ba. Maybe the son was talking about this girl to his father, that he's interested in the shidduch. So a son would never ask his father to be a shaliach. But maybe the son was talking to his father just about shiduchim, and he expressed interest in this young lady. And then what happens? The father's sitting, they're drinking wine under the tzavtzafa. There's an opportunity. Zachin la adam shalom b'fanav. Even though I both say it's interesting to think that marrying someone off is zachin. Right, because it's interesting. Because remember again, zachama adam shalom b'fanav means something that's an objective schos. it's interesting whether or not, and just listen to the rest of the statement, whether right, whether or not marriage is an objective schos. That must say, now, why do I say that? Why do, of course, marriage is objective schos, right? Right. So my wife sometimes listens to the podcast while cooking, so I have to. So of course, marriage is an objective schos. So I'll say, no. What it means is, remember, if marriage to one person precludes what? Marriage to someone else. So that's why, again, remember, technically speaking, anything that could limit you in other areas may or may not be okay. But in any event, clearly the Havmin of the Gemara is that if this young man expressed interest in marrying this young woman, perhaps it's Zachin La'adam Shalom B'fanav, to which the Gemara says, Amar Le Rabba Bar Simi Beferush Amar Bar, to Lo Savar La'ad the Rav Shmuel. So we'll say, ultimately, again, no, he doesn't hold of Rav and Shmuel. What's in other words? Meaning what? He doesn't hold of this idea that a father has the ability to go ahead and, right, and engage in this process. Look at Rashi. Beferush, Shamati Mimenu Delo Savarle L'Rav L'Shmuel, Dein Choshesh N'Shem N'Esra Sa'av, the Choshesh came L'Shema Asoy HaBen Shliach, Ela Imkin Shamanu. Now we'll say, this case is ridiculous. This doesn't work. In other words, we don't pass like Rav and Shmuel, that namely that a father could go ahead and agree to his Kitana daughter's actions ex post facto. And we certainly don't agree, we certainly don't hold to this idea that a father could enter his son into marriage without explicit instructions from his son. And therefore, again, Rabbi Osai, this case, although it sounds so beautiful, two friends sitting under the tzavtzafa bush, the tzavtzafa tree in Babel, drinking wine and agreeing to the marriage of their children. It sounds so beautiful, and it actually sounds like such a great way, right, to create shiduchim. But nevertheless, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because, again, we don't hold that a ketana could go ahead and enter into relationships on her own, even if her father subsequently consents. And certainly, again, a father can't enter his son into a relationship without the express permission or direction of his son. Incredible. Hahu gavra the kaddish b'kiyush of the yakum. Most interesting case. B'kiyush of Yerushuga. There was a guy who was mekaddish omen. I will say this seemingly is an unrelated case. Except Rashi says over here, it's interesting, there was a guy who was Mekadish a girl, and Rashi points out this is a case of Kitana Shalola Das Aviha. So Reuven goes over to Rachel. Rachel is a Kitana without the consent of her father and is Mekadish her. How is he Mekadish her? With a bundle of vegetables in the shuk. Am Ravina, Afid Laman Dam Rechoshi Shon Esrat Sa'av. So Ravina said, even according to the opinion who says that if the father agreed ex post facto that the Kiddushin would be good, covered. That's only if the man is going to be mekadish the woman in a proper way. Derech covered. Aval derech bizayin though. But if you're not going to do it right, there is right. If you're not going to go ahead and give a woman, a girl, kiddushin in the right way, and it's going to be something degrading. Derech bizayin no. So I'm really ravach. I'm difti ravino. What's the bizayin over here? Bizayin demai. I bizayin diyarka. Is it that he's using vegetables? In other words, is that it? In other words, that he's been being Makadishar. Now, obviously, we'll say it's Shavar Pruta, but come on, right? You're giving her a bundle of vegetables. That's the Kiddushin. Or is it Bizayon the Shuga? Or I will say, is it the fact that you're doing Kiddushin in the marketplace? Which I will say, again, it's just a lack of covet to the process. So the Gemara says, so my Nafkamina, so Gemara's Nafkamina, the Kaddish Bakasva B'Shuga, Nafkamina would be, if you gave her money, but you gave her in the shuk, but he gave it to her in the shuk, oh, b'kish liyakavesa, or, you know, chivalry's not dead, you brought the vegetables to her home, right? You got down on one knee, and you gave her the vegetables. So I'll say, so that would be the nafkamina. So the Gemara says, so my amrole idi vi idi derech bizayon. Both ways, the guy is a loser, right? In other words, I'll say, so again, both because he did it, right? He did it in the shuk, right? Did it in the shuk. So we'll say, again, the act of doing it in the shuk ultimately, again, represents that this is like another, like, what are you doing in the shuk, right? You buy your hummus and you're going ahead and you're giving kiddush. In other words, the shuk is a transactional place. Kiddushin requires kovod rosh, requires ultimately a sense of concentration and reverence. So number one, you can't do kiddushin in the shuk. We'll say the other part, by the way, of course, in the shuk is that it could look also like a shtickle immoral. Giving a woman money in the shuk also it could mean different things. Yeah. So number one, it's transactional, doesn't look right. And number two, vegetables. As much as it is a shavar pruta, vegetables is derech bizayon. So we'll say either way, this is not good. Incredible. So the Gemara goes either. Hudam of the krivai. So this is a great case. Listen to this. There was a couple. And we'll say, get ready for this. They had a disagreement. Right? Married couple, and they had a disagreement. So what was the disagreement? Right? They're marrying off a child, a daughter. The husband, all right, the husband said, I want our daughter to marry one of my relatives. Right? And the wife said, no, I want our daughter to marry one of my relatives. Kaf say ad the amr le tevel kriva. So what was I? The wife won the argument. Kaf say literally means like she bound him. In other words, okay, she wore him down, right? She won. And finally decide, okay, our daughter's gonna marry one of the wife's relatives. So the Gemara says, "Kafsi ad the amr le tehavi le kriva." Ad the achli b'shavos. So what happens? They made the vart. So they're making the vart, having the suda where the kiddushin is going to occur. Fine. Ad the achli b'shasi asa krive be'igra v'kadsha. But get ready for this. As they're having the suda to celebrate the kiddushin. Now the kiddushin didn't occur yet, right? But this is a suda to celebrate the upcoming kiddushin. One of the husband's relatives was mekadesh the girl, literally in the attic. Right, took her to the attic, was mekadesh her in the attic. Okay, of course the husband knew nothing about this, right? I know. Rashi says over here, bekitcha, beseser, v'adayin lo kibala av kiddushin mekav shel ishto. So both say, so a case over here, so one of the relatives came, was mekadesh her in the attic. So now again, in all seriousness, the father did not know about this. So this is a case of kiddushin ketana shelo l'das aviyah. So what's that? L'cham rabayi, k'siv shei yisrael lo yasu avlo. Pasuk says, Klal Yisrael doesn't lie. V'lo yidabru chazav. Shabbos said, no. In this case, clearly the father would not agree to this. He made a commitment to his wife that the daughter was going to marry one of the wife's relatives, and certainly the father would not go back on his word. Rava says, Chazaka in adam turech besuda mafsida. So Rava says, there's a chazaka that a person doesn't go ahead here. We'll say, in this case, the husband spent all of this money to make this suuda, celebrating the upcoming kiddushin, to his wife's family member. If now this kiddushin works, he's going to have to make another suda. But we'll say a person doesn't spend money for nothing. So the fact that the husband made the suda indicates that no, he's committed to his daughter marrying one of the relatives of the wife, and clearly he does not consent to this kiddushin. So the Gemara says, "My benai, what's the nafkamini? Kebenai adlo tarach." So what's the nafkamini would be a situation where, let's say, there was the suda, but the father himself didn't have to go ahead and toil. Didn't have to toil for the suda. Let's say somebody else paid for the suda. So again, in that case, maybe the father would have been okay with the kiddushin. But let's say, again, like I said, bottom line, these cases, while they're fascinating, halacha l'maisa, again, don't really go ahead and really come up halacha l'maisa. Why? Because we paskin that any time that a ketana goes ahead and does kiddushin on her own, it is inconsequential. And like the Rambam said, even if after the fact the father agrees, halacha l'maisa, the kiddushin still is not halachic with that. Right, so stop over for today. Shemen Yisya Shukayach. Continue tomorrow, Mir Sashem.